vanity. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. Yippee, I get to preach on Ecclesiastes. Not a book I would have chosen, but Pastor Rickards had this all figured out well in advance. Beginning today through July 26th, he's been planning to preach a series on the wisdom books of the Old Testament and how each of them has shaped his ministry over the 46 years of his career. You know, get all nostalgic on you. But Pastor Rickards is not able to be here this morning. So here I am, attempting a sermon on Ecclesiastes, of all things. Which is fine, I'm willing to try anything once. But let me say right up front, I will not be reflecting on any one of Pastor Rickards' 46 years in ministry. Ecclesiastes, I've learned, is the Greek translation from the Hebrew title Koheleth. I have it spelled out phonetically right here. Koheleth, which refers to someone appointed to stand before the assembly. Now, assuming you remember your seminary Greek, you might have recognized ecclesia, meaning assembly. You are the ecclesia in Greek. The ecclesia as the root of the Greek title, Ecclesiastes, one who stands before the assembly. The Hebrew title, Koheleth, is a bit harder to pin down and to find in my manuscript. Many scholars have translated it as teacher. Martin Luther insisted on translating it as preacher, as in the one who stands before the assembly and speaks with authority. And whether one thinks of Koheleth or as a teacher or a preacher or both, the author of this book of Ecclesiastes is nevertheless someone who is steeped in wisdom and indeed does rise to speak to the assembly with authority. And what does the preacher rise to speak about? Vanity. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. For as long as I can remember, the vanity of which Ecclesiastes warns has always intrigued me. It's not the sort of vanity that convinces the gullible that they are the most beautiful and interesting people on earth. Not that kind of vanity. No, it's not that sort at all. Rather, the preacher speaks of vanity as something far more ephemeral and fleeting. Indeed, some biblical scholars argue over the word vanity itself, that it's less than an adequate translation of the Hebrew word hevel. Can you tell I've been doing a lot of reading? Haven't made sense out of it, but I've done a lot of reading. Anyway, hevel means something much closer to breath, or wasted breath. The author speaks of the seasons of life, as going round and round, seemingly without purpose. The sun rises, the sun sets, and hurries back to the place where it rises again. The sun sets and hurries to the place and rises again. It will come again and again. There is nothing new under the sun. What has been will be. One day after another, and after a while, it can all start to sound rather monotonous and depressing. The people long ago are not remembered, nor will there be any remembrance of people yet to come by those who come after them. Truth, I'm sure, but depressing nonetheless. Where, pray tell, is the good news in this passage? Popular wisdom at the time held that the good prospered and the evil suffered. That people, what do you say, get what they deserve. But the preacher's study of life revealed to him the folly of such supposed wisdom. Good people and evil people all ultimately face the same end. Good and evil simply do not get what we think they deserve. Oftentimes, the opposite is true. And it is our despair in sensing the meaninglessness of all which the preacher refers to as vanity. The meaninglessness, the monotony. Indeed, all things in which we place our effort and value, all the things that we focus our attention on, all the things we worry about, worry, I'm a good worrier, but all such things are vanity. One thing you have to give him, the preacher, the author of Ecclesiastes, tells it like it is. But the preacher also insists that life can be beautiful. The rhythm of the seasons is beautiful. The whole of creation is beautiful. For everything there is a season, for every time and for every matter under heaven. The secret to a joyful life is not worrying about those things over which we have no control. Let me know how you make out with that, because that's one that really I struggle with. But the key to a joyful life is not worrying about those things over which we have no control, but rather to pay attention in each moment to the beauty that is right in front of us. God has given us wonderful gifts, work to be busy with, family to love, an ever-changing natural landscape. The sun rises, the sun sets, and comes around again, rising on the forest and setting on the sea, rising in the sea and setting in the forests. Whatever God does endures forever. God created and intended time, the seasons, and all that that is for human pleasure, that we might know joy. How can we not respond with awe-inspired praise? Knowing that this was a poor job of explaining Ecclesiastes, I do have a story that'll help. It is an ancient story, and I want you to pay attention to this story. Where shall I look for enlightenment? The disciple asked. Here, the wise one said. When will it happen? The disciples asked. It is happening right now, the wise one answered. Then why don't I experience it? Because you don't look. What should I look for? Nothing. Just look. Look at what? At anything your eyes light on. But must I look in a special way? No, the ordinary way will do. But don't I always look in the ordinary way? No, you don't. But why ever not? Because to look, you must be here. And you are mostly somewhere else. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. Amen.